Since the fall of President Suharto in 1998, ethnic and religious violence in Indonesia has been increasing steadily. One of the hardest hit areas has been central Kalimantan, where hundreds of people have been killed in the last month. NPR's Michael Sullivan reports from Jakarta that few there believe the ethnic and religious violence will decrease anytime soon.
Ethnic violence between indigenous Dayaks and Madurese settlers has been going on for years. In 1999, fighting between the two groups killed nearly 200 people. But the latest round of violence a few weeks ago was the worst yet. The indigenous Dayaks launched a campaign to drive all the Madurese settlers from in and around the city of Sampit, going door to door, searching for Madurese, killing those they found, looting and burning their homes to make sure they wouldn't return. The killings were brutal and numerous. Nearly 500 people, men, women, and children, were murdered. Some were decapitated with machetes. One Dayak offered a simple explanation for the violence.
We Dayaks don't like how the Madurese behave in this part of Kalimantan. They have lived here for a long time, but they are not good neighbors. They are selfish, and they don't care about others. They should leave as soon as possible and go somewhere else where they will be safe, because they are not welcome here.
Tens of thousands have gone somewhere else. Many made their way here, to the place their grandparents called home, the island of Madura, and more are trickling in every day. This area has become so packed with refugees from Kalimantan that locals call it Little Sampit. Here, several dozen of the recent arrivals built temporary housing out of crude wooden planks. The refugees here are being supported by a local Muslim charity. The Madurese say the Dayaks back in Kalimantan resent them for being ambitious and hardworking, while the Dayaks, they say, are just lazy. 27-year-old Pandi is a recent arrival, a soft-spoken man in a brown fedora and a faded red polo shirt.
They're jealous of us Madurese because we work long, long hours to make money and aren't afraid of working hard. But the Dayaks, they don't want to work as hard or as long, but they still get mad at us for having more than they do.
The majority of these ethnic Madurese refugees were born in Kalimantan and want to return there if it's safe, where they say they can make far more money and have a better life than they could here in Madura. The open-air market in the town of Spulu, just down the road, is packed with merchandise. Everything from hammers and wrenches to fresh squid and octopus. It is also packed with people, and so is the entire island of Madura. During the 30-year-plus rule of the dictator Suharto, the Indonesian government launched its so-called transmigration plan, moving large numbers of people from densely populated islands such as Madura to sparsely populated areas such as Kalimantan. After decades in Kalimantan, few of the ethnic Madurese refugees have family left here, and says 36-year-old merchant Sophia, echoing the sentiment of many locals, while she feels bad for the returning Madurese refugees, she doesn't want them here permanently.
It's difficult to find work here already. If they stay, competition will increase and it will make it harder for the rest of us to make money. And where would they live? Whose land would they stay on? It's okay for them to stay here for now, but they should go back to Kalimantan or somewhere else.
The Madurese who fled Kalimantan are part of an estimated 1 million Indonesians who are now refugees in their own country, many of them driven from their homes like the Madurese. When the Indonesian government started its transmigration effort, it seemed a good idea at the time. The World Bank even helped out with $5 billion in aid. But, says a Western diplomat who followed the program closely, the government plopped these people down in the midst of indigenously populated areas and created a ticking time bomb. And the danger, says Joseph Cristiati of Jakarta's Center for Strategic and International Studies, has been heightened by the lack of a strong central government.
I think the social distrust phenomenon is, you know, prevalent. I mean, that can happen everywhere. So it's very easy people to ignite the, you know, social conflict. So I think, you know, that if we don't effective government to control this integration phenomenon, I think it's very difficult Indonesia, you know, defend as, you know, unity.
Ethnic conflicts are just one of Indonesia's problems. Secessionist movements in the oil and mineral-rich provinces of Aceh and Irian Jaya are thought by many to be the biggest threat to Indonesia's stability. But political analyst Dewi Fortuna Anwar disagrees. She says negotiated settlements to the secessionist conflicts are possible, but the ethnic conflicts, she says, are much harder to resolve.
Indonesia is a land of over 400 different ethnic groups. And as Indonesians, one is free to travel everywhere. One should be free to settle everywhere. Yet at the same time, one has to recognize that when migrants settle in certain areas and they do not adapt to locals' cultures, deadly conflicts can take place, like in Kalimantan. And I'm afraid there is no easy answer for that. The government has not been able to show us the way out of that.
That's because of the political uncertainty that's dogged Indonesia since President Suharto stepped down. For better or worse, the Suharto regime managed to keep a lid on ethnic unrest, in part by carefully distributing local government jobs between indigenous and settler populations. When that didn't work, Suharto resorted to force. But that, says Dewi Fortuna Anwar, addressed only the symptom, not the disease.
Every time there were conflicts, the government simply sent in soldiers. And so they killed a lot of people, some people, they arrested some people, and then everything would be quiet again. But the deep-seated causes of the problems among the communities have never been resolved. And unless we start to talk about, you know, how to manage this plurality, I'm afraid that this social unity of Indonesia is in danger.
With more power devolving to provincial, district, and local levels, and fewer people willing to listen to the central government in Jakarta, the situation will likely get worse. But few expect the country to unravel. One diplomat put it this way, "I don't see much hope for the next 5 years. They will muddle through. But we will see more Kalimantans, more violence, and a lot more people will die." At some point, the diplomat said, they will exhaust themselves and do something about it. Michael Sullivan, NPR News, Jakarta.